What's going on?
Nothing.
It's nice to see you.
It is. It's been some time.
You look well.
You look well.
You look healthy.
I'm trying my best. I think we all are. I'm going to go for a run after this. I feel like I didn't do... Sometimes I get home from work and I can't muster the energy, but I'm feeling all right today.
Well, you want to know what also is the problem? It's daylight savings.
I hate it, dude. I wake up in the dark, I get home in the dark.
Now it's pitch black.
I fucking hate it.
I mean, I used to do that for years while riding the MTA.
Yeah.
And, you know, I go in when it's really dark or kind of early-ish and then come out when it's dark. But I feel like there's, now with this whole work from home thing, there's a level of control with it. And then you realize that daylight savings time is stupid.
Yeah, no, it's for farmers and there's only like four of them left. So what the fuck are we doing?
I can't even tend to my crops out here. It's rough.
Who are we even saving the daylight for?
Well, you want to know what it is too? If it would make a lot more sense if states in the U.S. were concurrently adopting it rather than some states just saying no,
because it's dumb. Because, like, hey, here's the thing.
And you guys can do that.
Why do I need to change my schedule for the farmers? Can't they just get up a little bit earlier?
Oh, no. You want the farmers to get up? I don't know.
It sounds they like it's their fucking problem.
I mean,
can't they just change their lives around for half of the year? I work in an office.
This is true. This is actually true. I don't understand the purpose. I think in our lifetime, I don't even know if I'm speaking from this as, from a position of optimism. I think in our lifetime, daylight savings will be abolished. I think we'll see it.
I want to follow up on that with a related question. You want to go to Jersey and get some weed?
Yeah. Sure. Why? Is it legal there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, cool.
I stay out of cross-state politics.
Yeah, no, it's just cool that they finally gave people a reason to go to Jersey.
Well, and also for fireworks. Yeah. Wait, is that Pennsylvania?
That's PA.
Oh, well, it's a good thing I could just go to any state other than New York, because...
I mean, granted,
that makes sense.
It's not particularly hard for us to get to Jersey. It's like...
It's also not hard... It's not also particularly hard to get pot out here.
No, that's true.
I actually think it's quite
easy.
Well,
actually, that's the thing. I think with the passing of that, it's just going to get easier.
Which, you know what? As it should. As it should.
Because we
CBD
will...
CBD oils and all that other stuff, you know, it's been studied for decades. Even certain psychedelics, you know, they've been studied for decades here. And they've had, in certain cases, nothing but positive effects.
Or we can go to Oregon.
It's even helped with psychosis.
Where they were fuck it, you want some meth?
Yeah. And, you know, why not just lean hard into it? Why not? Yeah, imagine New York just says, hey, pot's illegal, but you know it's not. Heroin.
And we were like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. But that's pretty cool. I'd love to go there. So we'll see some abolishment of daylight savings. We'll see some marijuana in New York State.
Finally,
who's to say?
A reason to go to Hackensack.
Maybe Cuomo will just come out smoking a doobie.
That's what everybody
say,
wants.
Hey.
Talk to my
who gives a fuck?
My homeboy Cuomo the other day. Quomes, I said. We gotta get some weed in New York.
You know, Cuomo, I think it was last week, comes out, says, hey, you know, we were the top of the top with this whole Rona situation. I mean, not beginning, of course, because that was another story, but
yeah,
you know, we were top of our class with low cases, but he was saying, you know, things are getting a little crazier now.
Yeah.
You kids, you didn't listen to me.
You didn't
as much
heed
as
my
you should
warning.
Have.
I warned
you
all. You
didn't heed my warnings, and now, as Papa John's once prophesied, the day of reckoning has come. 10 p.m. curfew.
I just love
bars can't the serve idea. You after that. You're done.
That's what Papa John was talking about all along.
Papa John engineered
this virus. The day of reckoning
I mean, that's one of my favorite conspiracy theories. I mean, I don't like the virus, and I don't like the destruction and tragedy it has caused, but
the,
I feel like Papa John's was just had to be onto something.
Yeah,
the
no.
timing was just too
he
perfect.
He knew, like, whether he did it or not, he knew something. What was it?
You know what
ate,
I just,
like,
you know what I could never get over
month?
In that video?
Nobody made
yeah, he did.
Do that.
No, I think, what was it? He ate,
it was like,
it wasn't three pizzas.
It was like 40 pizzas in a month.
Yeah, that was it. It was some, like, exuberant number. And it, you know what? At first, I didn't believe him, but one thing I couldn't get over throughout that entire segment was just how sweaty he looked.
Well, yeah.
He looked like he was about to melt like the cheese on the pizza.
It was a meat lovers every time.
I I could not get that image out of my head for the longest time because it looked like he had a message for the people and he looked like he was falling on hard times. And I don't know. I can't help but think he knew something.
Papa John's.
You want to know something wacky too? I personally have not seen any real news about him ever since.
Well, he disappeared from the public side. I don't fucking know.
You know what? Fuck him. Good riddance.
Papa John's really should change its name to Papa Shack's.
Have you even had Papa John's in a while?
Not in years.
I think one time during a Super Bowl party, like when I was in college.
I was going to say, somebody, it would have been college, would have been like the last time I maybe had it, and I can't even like draw you a when, just incidentally somewhere at a party or something. Exactly.
Yeah. And I remember, at least in my experience too, somebody said, hey, I ordered Papa John's, and my head almost had like fucking whiplash because I was just, yeah, I was so confused. And this is a world where, you know, I love Domino's. Love's a strong word. I adore Domino's.
Domino's can only be eaten at night when God can't see you.
Yeah, that's right. And that was kind of my thing. Even Pizza Hut, I never really was the biggest fan of. But this guy orders Papa John's. And I was thinking, wow, that's like the third world pizza choice.
Yeah.
And it was okay. But ever since that time, again, by my own volition, I have never ordered Papa John's, ever. And ever since then, what does this man do? Pops a taboo word on a conference call, gets fired.
Wow.
Prophesizes the end of the world.
Yeah.
I think I made the right choice to not support this dude's business.
He became enlightened. But Papa John, it seems that he's just an asshole. It seems like he sucks.
I thought he was going to go down the path of Alex Jones.
I really thought it was going to be that intense.
I thought he was going to become a radical right wing. I'm not even kidding. I actually thought it was going to happen.
I would have strapped in for that ride.
Because he just looked like the type. I really thought with that interview, that
Papa
was the start,
John's
the progenitor to what was going to happen.
Gay.
Yeah, and I actually even, on a car ride back, I don't listen to Joe Rogan's podcast. That's an endorsement to give a shit. I just don't. And,
yeah,
This one person I was with, he was like, "Yeah, you mind if I pop this on?" I said, "Go for it." And it was the Alex Jones episode. It was recent too. And I was thinking, you know, let's see where this one goes. This man's voice had me cracking the fuck up. It's so
he sounds like an insane person.
He does. It's so deep and grizzled and just not in a good way.
What are you doing?
Just like an insane, yeah, just like an insane, rambly, nervous, self-conscious,
like
insecure
gravelly
person, and he just keeps going.
He has like a gravelly deep south accent.
He does, and I don't even think he's from there.
He's not.
That's why I'm like, yeah, that's why it's weird.
The closest I ever paid attention to Alex Jones was when he was in that lawsuit about his kids, where he made the argument that like that's not his real personality. And I specifically remember Brian Altano tweeting about it because he had the best example for it. He's like, just to clear it up so everybody understands, this is like Bowser suing Mario saying that King Koopa is a character he plays.
He's just the guy who he plays. And then he proceeded to act even more insane ever since then as well, which was, I mean, the whole gay frogs thing, that alone is still one of my top five of just, I crack
my
up favorite's every time.
My favorite's that video of him, like, tearing his own shirt off.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's also that meme that was going around where he chases after whatever it was, and everybody clipped that, and now he just runs after everybody. Yeah, yeah, because he was telling everybody to get it out of his face or whatever, and then chased after them. The man's an enigma. But, yeah, I was listening to this episode, and he's just fucking insane.
Yeah.
They're talking about, like, how we're carbon beings and how he believes in global warming, but not for the same reasons. Like, apparently carbon dioxide is not causing greenhouse gases. Like, that's
despite
the
actual recorded facts that support that it is.
I can't speak to the science.
I would applaud any man who just goes, well, I've seen the data and I don't believe it.
It's like that episode of Always Sunny where they say, have you read those studies? Have you been present when those studies were made?
Yeah.
And you can't answer yes to those. So, you know, keep an open mind. But, yeah, Alex Jones is fucking insane. Papa John's is fucking insane. Daylight Savings is fucking insane. Rich, we're in a new console era. What do you think?
I don't know. How is it?
I
How are you
I
liking your
bad.
PS5?
I
Cause okay, mine, so I've had... Hopefully soon, but no luck yet.
I took a little excursion for about a week, so I just got back to it, hooked it up. I think I spent a good portion of the day yesterday just setting it up and transferring things, because I just left it on while I was working. And I played Warzone. So far, I've played next-gen titles like Warzone.
Yeah.
Which you can't get anywhere else, of course, only
have
on PS5.
Have you played Demon's Souls? That's the thing
I have.
Tell me about it.
I'll twist my arm then. All right. So, I did load up Demon's Souls. I played a good hour of it.
Cool.
Number one, it's beautiful.
So you made a character.
I did. I
always try in Souls games, I'll spend like 45 minutes in the character creator trying to make my character as ugly as possible.
You know, this one is cleaner. You get better characters,
so
but
I
you
should
still
just make
get
Shrek.
You could just make as, and it's so funny too, because some of the preset models that they give you, they're still fuck ugly, and they're different colors. Like, it's hilarious. I don't even know. I still don't understand what From Software wanted with it, but I loved it. I made a normal person because I'm always number one on vanilla's fuck, and number two, they're behind armor anyways. I can never see them, so
it
doesn't really
matter
to me.
Yeah,
it's just fun to dick around and make their jaw like extend out by 3 feet.
Yeah, you're,
and that's
but
the
you're
character.
Gonna have make the crimson chin. But yeah. You're gonna have a helmet on like immediately, yeah. And you're never gonna see that fucking person again. So it hardly matters.
I will say this: I hope PlayStation/Sony. I hope they pick up Bluepoint Games permanently.
It's looking like
they've
already
done a number
happen.
Of remakes. Yeah, I hope they actually bring them on in house.
Not even just remakes.
They do brilliant work.
They made that Uncharted game for the Vita that was actually really solid.
Yeah, I remember that. What was it called again?
Golden Abyss.
Yeah, yeah, that was I remember, and that was one of the better games for it too.
Yeah, that was one of the like really strong Vita exclusives.
Well, Demon's Souls, at least as it comes to a next-gen title, number one, this is the most next-gen title that I've seen in terms of fluidity and just playability. It's really cool.
As far as I know, it's the only one that was made exclusively for next-gen that's out right now, so that makes
sense. And it shows. It shows. The biggest thing that I like about the game itself is that everything's just overhauled to just look sleek. Mm-hmm. I do there in the past, and I know I've talked about this before because I've mentioned that's pretty fucking dumb how people would pick this game apart for its art direction, you know, because they basically took some liberties from the original game. Like, they cleaned up a lot of the graphics, and they've even straight up retexturized pretty much every boss and every enemy and visual and all that. So the internet was pretty vocal, well, the vocal minority, because I'll always assume it's like 10 people, and they kept comparing the different models between the two, and they were like, listen, they kind of departed from the original vision here. I'm not really getting the same kind of dark, twisted fantasy Kanye West album. And they were just like, and I actually did consider this. I didn't give a shit, because Demon's Souls is my favorite game from the From Software franchise. Like, I love this game for its story. I think it's perfect. But I will say this. In the beginning, when I did start uploading this game, and it was going through the beginning of the game, and I was kind of expecting to see kind of the haunting intro that the original does have.
Yeah.
This actually did not have that in the same kind of regard. Yeah, actually, it's very interesting, and it's not something that killed the fucking game for me. Like, mind you, I'm not going to nitpick this to high hell. The gameplay itself.
After not seeing this, correct?
Yes, exactly. So... so... I was trying not to be such a pragmatist about this.
Like,
but,
let's just see what happens. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. But it is noticeable. Like, I don't get the same kind of feeling of dread that the beginning gave you.
I guess at the same
time, and the setting is a little different.
I feel like there's a big audience going in that has no memory of Demon's Souls, and it's just going on like, hey, this is a remake of the Dark Souls before Dark Souls. And like, that's all those people need, so they're probably fine on fronts like that.
Yeah, and nobody's ever gonna give a shit. Even with all that being said, it's still very tight to play. I think the graphics look beautiful. I think the UI cleanups that they did were totally appropriate, and I think it was fantastic.
All the images I've seen look fucking great.
It is, and that's just on performance mode, mind you, and that's a 60K. Dynamic 4K resolution compared to its visual mode or its cinematic mode, I forgot what it's called, but that's a native 4K 30 FPS mode. You never need to do that.
I'm
like,
all about
it's completely
baby.
Unnecessary. Its performance mode is exactly what you see in the videos. It plays beautifully. Everything's interconnected. And the load times are practically non-existent. It's insane. And the game, I'm so glad it's like just brought back into a spotlight. And I think it's so funny how for the PS3, this was the first game. And now we have a second console launch where this is one of the launch games for it as well. Yeah. And that's fucking wild. And it's still cool. Just as successful. It's still rating just as highly on everything, because of course it will, because it was like Game of the Year, I think, that, one time.
Demon's Souls is the reason I'm really hoping I can get my hands on a PS5 sometime this month. I've assembled a task force of sword. I really have. I have an Instagram chat of Sword Chomp patrons who are just sending me alerts whenever they have a lead. I got very close in a PlayStation queue today. If I wasn't at work, I might have had it.
Isn't it insane how hard it is? I don't think PS4 was that hard.
No, I walked into a store on launch day and bought a PS4.
I'm trying to think of we talked about this last time too. It was like two episodes ago. I think the Switch was really difficult.
Yes, but
at first, yes. And the Wii was absolutely impossible.
For about 2 months, the Switch was. And what sucks is what stores started doing with the Switch that Sony or Microsoft, because Xbox is just as hard to get, can't do right now, is stores like Target and stuff actually started doing raffles where you would basically draw a ticket and then like 30 or 40 numbers would get called, and then you go, okay, if you have one of those numbers, come back at 4 o'clock and there's one waiting for you. You have like, but you have to be here at 4 o'clock or they're gonna call another number and give it to somebody else.
That's so fucking insane. That's insane.
Like, literally, they're raffling the chance for you to spend money.
Yeah, I hate
the raffle is the option to buy the thing.
And you know what? They do that. You want to know something, too? I always think of when people encounter this, they go, wow, this is fucking insane. I know several people who are really big sneakerheads.
Mm.
And it's the same. It's even worse.
Oh, yeah. Especially, like, it's worse. And I've actually talked to
it's
people.
It's the same. No, I'm agreeing. It's like the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's even like worse for that. Because you just, when you have to like pull teeth to earn the right to buy.
Like, think about that. Yeah. And I've actually talked to people who are super into that, who said, like, with COVID, this year has been the worst for sneakerheads. Because
they just go
it's
online.
What we're seeing with the PS5. Like, there's no, like, if I could have, like, hung out at a Best Buy that night, if this were a normal year, I probably would have got one.
Or even think when,
because I took off launch day to sit home.
Even online? Like, I'm pretty good. I'm pretty on the ball with getting stuff. Well, like, if it's concert tickets or console,
typically
I've never really run into a problem to get something. I think the only time I really struggled to get something was the Super Nintendo Mini. Because that was for, like, a solid month and a half. That was really impossible to get for whatever reason.
That one, yeah. And I actually lucked out with that one. Because this was during our We Play Board Games at Weird Hours phase of our lives when that came out.
Yes.
And I was at our friend Nick's at 4 in the morning playing Arkham Horror when that went on sale.
Insanity. Absolute insanity. But this, I mean, the online for this console, it fucking blew. I told you about this so many times. This is the weirdest console cycle I think I'm ever going to be a part of, where I'm just like, okay, I'm going to tolerate all this bullshit.
Yeah.
If the whatever next generation back when I fucking have kids and everything and family probably in like 7 years, when this stuff goes down again, I'm not even going to bother. I'm just going to wait, because it's insane.
Unless you're
an industry
bigwig and they'll just send it to you.
Yeah, unless you're Mark Cerny or somebody who's just like, yo, I literally
they
like,
mailed
this
to my house.
So it's mine. Yeah. I will say this, though. The videos and word of mouth and reviews are true. This thing is a fucking Goliath.
Yeah, I've seen plenty of images to suggest as much. Have you seen the Mega 64 video where Rocco literally...
Yeah, where they try shoving
PS5
discs in it.
When he brings it to the GameStop, I literally lost my shit. It's just like, well, no, it's all in there.
I love when they make those videos. The PSP is still one of my favorite ones with the PSP Go. There's no words to just... It cracks me up whenever they just first open it up and it's like shoved with like butter.
That guy
like, whatever the
at
fuck
the GameStop,
he
just didn't know how... literally, like, my favorite is when he's trying to act like he's being a rational adult. He goes, well, listen, if you can't give my money back, it's fine. Just give me an Xbox Series X.
They are... Rocco and them are, like, the masters of improv. They just can't... They never break.
He's
and
always
they
been phenomenal
never fall
at
under
that.
Pressure. I remember I used to, because I listen to their podcast, like, they're the only podcast, aside from other things, I just listen to is White Noise, because they're just so funny.
Yeah.
But I remember back in the early days, they would always say how nervous they were. Like, they were scared shitless because they didn't know what was going to happen. But I guess throughout their time, they realized that people literally just don't know what to do. And they just
for the most part,
shit.
Yeah.
Because they don't know how to respond. Like, a GameStop employee, when they see this mixed with, like, some fucking sauce or whatever the hell they use to, like, stick in, they have no idea what to do with that. They're just like, okay.
Yeah, you don't know how to respond. The only, like, step above that is where I'd be worried somebody is just going to clean my clock is, like, kind of shit Eric Andre does.
Yeah, exactly. And even then, you know, I think this is the last season of Eric Andre. Even then, like, Absurdist Humor
next
at some point, it's, like,
season.
Absolutely wacky. These guys, though, they don't even lead into too much absurdity. They just keep everything somehow really grounded.
It's a matter of just doing.
They just act like nothing's wrong. It's insanity.
Yeah, doing something that is completely absurd. Like, not even to that extreme, but, like, the key is you have to react like what you're doing is a perfectly normal thing. And people don't know what to
do.
Listen,
lessons for life. Lessons for life right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me a little bit about the DualSense.
I like it. I'm still getting used to it. So,
I don't know if you...
Is Astro's Playroom free?
Yes.
I think it's free.
Yes, you have that.
Okay.
I've heard that shows
okay,
because
it's just there.
What that
and I didn't even get... I literally haven't even had a chance to interact with the HUD at all. It's just there. And I'm like, I don't want to buy this Astro's Playhouse.
No, that's
this.
Free. That's on your console. It's free. Okay. I'd recommend you play that because people are saying, like, that thing really shows off what that controller can do.
Which makes probably a lot of sense that they gave it. But, I like it. I think my hands are just, like, getting used to it, if that makes sense. Like, I'm very much so used to the DualShock that's just thinner from PlayStation 4. So this one's a little chunkier. But it makes me feel like I'm holding the Elite Series, honestly. It's a good feeling
also,
controller. I don't know.
Another weird selling point, Astro's Playroom is apparently great.
Yeah, I heard it was actually really fucking good.
Dan Reichert and Mike Bahardi said it's a better platformer than Mario 64.
Which is insane. I also heard that Sackboy... And I'm never going to not stop laughing at that. Sackboy is just a really good game, apparently, as well.
Yeah, that's another one.
Which wasn't surprising at all, because the team that made that made, like, those godlike Little Big Planet games.
Of course. That's another one that's also on PS4, but another one I'm going to wait for my PS5 to pick up.
You don't need to rush for that either.
I'm in no rush to get to that game, but I would like to get to it eventually.
I'm really curious to see, because I know over time they're going to shrink this damn thing, the hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's fucking huge. I'm not even kidding. Like, I can't... I literally, like, can't... Like, it's just there.
According to... You know? Yeah. According to Shuhei, they already shrunk it down quite a bit. That the original prototypes
like
were...
Internally? Like, when they're just messing around with it?
Yeah. That it was way bigger initially.
Which is... It still blows my mind. I mean, this thing... I was looking at the... I have a Kallax shell from IKEA. The home of the based meatballs. And, I can't fit it in there. Like, it's impossible.
Oh, yeah,
I have
wouldn't
to keep it on top of everything.
Have you transferred over your PS4 stuff?
Yes and no. So
did you do that local transfer thing? Because I've heard it actually worked really well.
I did. Oh, yeah. Well, I did, and it did a lot of my files, which was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Halfway through, the PlayStation 5 said it was done. And then the PlayStation 4 said it was still updating, and it would turn off automatically when it did conclude, so don't worry.
And that was a week ago, it's still doing it.
Yeah, and then I woke up the next day, kind of waited a couple of hours, and then it said that it failed. So then I took some mental inventory for a second and wondered how much did I really give a shit about that, and not much, gotta say. So I just didn't even bother anymore, and I just wiped it.
Fair enough.
So we're good now. It's all cool. It's all kosher. I am trying to get my Persona Royal file. That's the only thing I'm trying to save because I don't want that to...
If it's there, just send it to the cloud and then re-download it on the PS5.
I guess I'll do that right after. You're a wise man.
That's probably the path of least resistance.
But the PlayStation Plus games are the Bugsnax and Shadow of War?
Yes.
I remember when Shadow of War got a lot of flack because it was like pay-to-win shit.
Yeah.
For the levels. I believe that was happening.
They've taken out a lot of that stuff, is my understanding.
Yeah, but, they took that out. But overall, console solid. Demon's Souls is pretty solid. Biggest thing that I'm impressed with, of course, just like with everything on that damn thing, the load times. That's it.
Cool.
Things download really fast.
That SSD is apparently like the currently best SSD on the market.
I believe it. And I have to say, you know, this thing takes up all of your space immediately, just like I expected it would. So, get an external and just shut. That's actually recommended.
Oh, well.
Yo, well, you can't with the SSD, right?
There's no memory expansion, and there won't be until next year. Sony.
Then why does it tell me to do that?
It tells you to get an external. You can't play things off an external. You can essentially use it like a cold storage.
Okay. That's probably why it kept asking me to download things. Okay.
Yeah.
Like Call of Duty, it took me a day because it's unoptimized and fuck it. Yeah. It kept saying it was incorrectly loaded, so that's great. I'm glad I'm looking at this plugged in right now, knowing that's useless.
To be mindful of, apparently, a lot of games, Call of Duty being one of them, by default, this is the new Call of Duty, because obviously Warzone doesn't have those things. It, like, downloads the PS4 version onto your PS5. So people were saying, hey, make sure you're actually downloading the PS5 version of the game.
I bet you that's what happened to me, because I downloaded everything. Everything. Took at least, like, 3 hours with compatibility packs and all that crap. And I was like, okay, we're done. And then it said, pop in the disc, man. And I was like, all right. So I did. And they said, nah, this ain't the right version. You gotta download the disc version. I was so confused and livid. I was thinking, what the fuck? I was pleading with the consoles. Like, what do you want me to do?
Please just tell me what you want me to do.
Just tell me. I don't even care anymore. But I am gonna sell, like, all of my physical media now, even though I have the disc drive, because who gives a shit?
Monster.
And, well,
yeah, no, I get
the
it.
PS Plus collection just gives you everything now, so
that's true. It gives you all the biggies.
I mean, I'm keeping Spider-Man. Spider-Man's cool.
Spider-Man's very cool.
But that's my experience so far with it. I like it. I want to ask you about several games here. Yeah, this is what I fully expect the rest of the cast to even be all about, because I want to just know about everything.
A lot of games, and what's funny is a lot of these, and by which I mean more than half of them, are a result of games I just played during my 12-hour Extra Life stream.
How did that go?
I was very tired.
I see. Well, isn't that the point for charity?
Yeah, no, it was fun, especially the opening hours, because I had quite a few people along with me. We opened with Phasmophobia, and I had Nick, both Vinny's, and John there to play with me, and we had a pretty good time doing that.
That's great.
For a while.
I heard that game is pretty fun.
It's pretty funny. I had a moment I'm trying to clip from the stream because John was playing on Oculus. And when you're playing that game on Oculus, your character movements are straight up fucking terrifying. Okay. So there was a point where we were locked in the house with a ghost. And I believe at this point, both Vinnies were dead. So I'm looking around trying to figure out where... I'm doing like the local chat to try and figure out where people are. And I think John's Oculus was like bugging and he couldn't even talk because of it. And I'm like, John? John? And then I just see his body contorting in the corner because the VR, like, he had the headset off, so it was having a heart attack. And that was scarier than any ghost that attacked us all night.
Damn. Sounds pretty fun. I want to get that game.
It's cheap. It's like $14.
I hope that the... Well, at first, wasn't there only a dev who worked on it or something like that?
It's a small team. I don't think it's...
Like, it's a very small team?
I don't think it's one person, it's just but like, it's a small team.
I think it's like 2 to 3 devs.
Probably.
Which is wild. So I hope they expand, because that game's been blowing up.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Very neat game.
Tell me about Yakuza, because I just want to know about Yakuza.
I have been playing Yakuza like a dragon. I played a fucking lot of this game. I put like 20 hours in at this point.
How far are you? How far do you feel?
I feel like I got a ways ahead of me, but I'm at like chapter 6, if that might give anyone perspective. This is the first Yakuza game that does not star Kazuma Kiryu. We have a new protagonist in Ichiban Kasuga, and I really fucking like this character. Basically, to give Ichiban's quick backstory, he's part of a Tojo clan family, much like Kiryu was. He doesn't know who his parents are. He was born in and raised in a soap land. Eric, do you know what a soap land is?
I do not. I was about to ask that.
A soap land is essentially a Japanese whorehouse.
Ah.
So his mother was a prostitute. And he has no idea who his father was. And he was essentially taken in and raised by the man who owned and operated that soap land. Which, that particular soap land has a very unique history in the Yakuza series. particularly in a later Yakuza game, Goro Majima literally drives a truck through it during a combat sequence. And when Ichiban gets out of jail, it's one of the first places he goes to see is the old soap land, and it's in, like, it's a wreck currently in the Yakuza franchise. And somebody even notes, like, yeah, some nut job drove a truck through here. So they make, ridiculous, like, fun reference to that stuff. But you get early on through Ichiban's character, he's nothing like Kiryu. He's not this, like, silent, strong, stoic type. He's kind of an obnoxious idiot, but they end up playing him off really well. He becomes really endearing. And
with the heart of gold?
He's a gangster with a heart of gold.
Wow.
In order to not make the game cross over with Kiryu's story too much, it's set in 2019. The opening act, like the first two chapters, take place in 2001. And at the end of this, Ichiban ends up going to prison for 18 years. He basically takes the fall for a murder he did not commit for the family, for the sake of the family. Something very similar happens to Kiryu in the original Yakuza. So, like, it's a story that makes sense in these types of family situations.
He went away for 18 years?
18 years. He went away for, he was, I believe, convicted for 15, and then some guys started talking shit about his patriarch, and after he got into a fight, he had 3 years tacked onto his sentence. And most of the game kind of deals with him getting out and no longer being a Yakuza. He's a civilian now after that. And he's dealing with, like, the fractured way the world is. Like, the Tojo clan no longer holds Kamurocho, the city where the previous Yakuza games are set. It's the Omi Alliance who have been the, I guess, de facto villains of the Yakuza series in the past. So it takes place in a new city, the remainder of the game, Yokohama. Where you're basically trying to unravel what happened with your patriarch in the past, because he's now no longer a part of the Tojo clan. He's part of this Omi Alliance. And you're trying to figure out why no one showed up to get you when you got out of prison. Like, there, some shit went down with the family, and you're trying to figure out what the fuck happened.
Do you think that after this game, they'll focus another game on this guy?
I think so. People seem to really like him. And I'm curious what they do with the combat, because that was the big change going into this, right? Is the...
It's turn-based.
It's a turn-based RPG now. Yep. Which it has... I texted you about this. One of the best justifications for it ever. Ichiban is a giant Dragon Quest fanboy. So, like, he says, like, he's like, that's just how I see the world. Like, the world's like a big RPG to me. So you have all this level...
And then so it is.
And it goes further and further as you go on, because there's a job system... You have to literally go to an employment office to switch jobs. And when combat starts, everybody, like, changes in Ichiban's eyes based off their roles. That includes the enemies and your party. So you start seeing, like, these normal guys you were fighting when combat starts turned into, like, these absurd enemy types of, like, dudes with, like, scissors for hands and just old men in garbage bags. There's even a really great Pokemon joke early on where you meet a man named the Tsujimon Professor. Who wants you to help him compile the Tsuji Dex, which is this sort of glossary on all the perverts and thugs in Yokohama.
I love these games so much. I love these games so fucking much.
Yakuza is so weird. Fucking weird and good. The sub-stories are just as good as ever. I feel like there's more incentive to go into bars and stuff in this one, because now they're sort of like Persona X-esque social stats. And you want to raise your bond with your party members to unlock new jobs for them. So, you know.
Oh, so you go to the bar.
Like
bond
take out, take the boys out to the hostess club to, like.
Take the boys out.
Literally, your female party members, my favorite thing ever. If you go to the hostess club, they're like, I'm going to take off for a while, you fucking creeps.
That's pretty funny. And,
And the jobs
are
great.
Have you found any Easter eggs or, like, those games within the games that you've seen in the other ones?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's plenty of that stuff. Mostly in. Like the hostess club stuff, the way there used to be. And there's also a business management sim, which has been in previous games, where you invest in some local stores and then have to hire employees and sort of work out stats to, like, turn the biggest profit on stuff. There's still Sega arcades, you know, if you want to play all of Virtua Fighter 5.
That's pretty hilarious.
I love this
series
so much.
I'm laughing so much because that's so hilarious.
It seems that way to me.
So funny.
The jobs are also
cool,
purely fucking fantastic. Like, a few of them had, like, quick, unique jobs. Like, Ichiban has a unique job just called Hero, where he's just wielding a bat that literally, towards the beginning of the game, he pulls out of the ground and calls it the Hero's Sword.
Ridiculous.
Then, as you start to, you know, level up and increase relationships and stuff, you'll unlock, one of my characters who his base job is homeless man, because he is a homeless man. Oh. You meet, and he has fun. Oh. Attacks like stinky breath and drinking a bunch of gin and breathing fire at people. But then I unlocked a job for him where he became a troubadour, and he basically just beats people with a guitar.
Does he still look homeless?
No, your appearance changes based off your job, but only in combat.
Just like Dragon Quest.
Only in combat.
That's pretty funny.
I think I sent you the video too. When you get a new party member, it straight up plays the Dragon Quest music.
Yeah, like, yeah, with that you told screen, me that too. I was like, this is amazing. I thought that was pretty fun. I love when devs just put in little extra charms like that.
Yeah, it's
fun.
In the loading screens, which I find myself weirdly wishing were longer because of this, there's little Dragon Quest style character models walking in the corner in the loading screens of all the characters.
Oh, in the corner, it's just like the pretty, yeah.
That's
pretty fun.
One of my favorite jobs I unlocked is I made Ichiban a breaker, which he's danced like a late 90s, early 2000s break dancer. And all his moves are focused around, like bucket hat and all, are like focused around him getting into a group of enemies and doing like break dancing spin kicks.
I just like the overall attention to detail that they put in, because they knew that when they moved it to turn-based, it'd be received a little weird.
Yeah.
So they just made it as weird as fucking possible.
The summon spells are another weird notion.
Yes, I always saw the one with the lobsters. That was the only one that I ever saw.
I got that one, actually. But the first one you unlock is you find Adachi, who's this ex-police officer who's, like, the second party member you get.
Mm-hmm.
He finds a man handing flyers out on the street for a service called Poundmates, which he assumes is some sort of sexual service, so he immediately calls it, naturally. And they're like, all right, we're sending someone to you right away. And he's like, right here? Right now? And they're like, yeah, someone's on their way. And this burly man named Gary Buster Holmes shows up. And he's like,
Gary Buster Holmes.
Who you need me to fight? And they're like, what? And so your first summon spell from your Poundmate service is Gary Buster Holmes, who shows up and in like a... It's like watching Armstrong from Full Metal Alchemist. Like,
just come in, burn onto the scene,
his arms turn into maces, and it literally at one point it slows down and the screen just says Gary Buster Home Run, and he just smacks them into the sky.
It sounds like the game of the year already.
It's so
fair. I want to play
it's so fucking good. I'm playing the PC version. It runs great on PC. Definitely the most, as it should be, the most beautiful Yakuza game yet. It's,
yeah, I'm sure it honestly.
I'm gonna end up putting a ton of time into this. I love this series. They full on like old school JRPG'd this thing, and it could very well end up being my favorite.
I want to play this one too, but I think I'm just gonna keep going and play the originals.
Also,
beforehand.
Those games are great.
Not that I have to. No, I know they're all separate.
Yeah,
because this one's new. I don't want to buy it right now, so I'll just play through the other
ones. Well, that's the thing I wanted to stress. This is the one that's separate. Like, if you've never played the others and just hadn't gotten around to them, like, this is a fantastic entry point.
Yeah. This is the only franchise or series that I've ever seen that's always rated so positively. Let me clarify that. The weirdest franchise / series that I've ever seen that's been rated so positively throughout its entire history. Like, I've never seen a game rated poorly in the Yakuza series ever. It's so fucking weird.
The only one that went over kind of like, it was fine, was Yakuza Dead Souls, the zombie spinoff.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
That game's
too.
Fine. I don't particularly like it. I've been, for me, particularly disappointed, and this actually brings me into a quick news bulletin I'll bring up right now. There are two Yakuza games that are actually similar to how Dead Souls is a different sort of imagining. They're Yakuza games with the same characters set in the Edo period, and they never came to the U.S. And I would very much like to play both of those.
Let's see if they come out. With the success that this game's receiving,
and
who knows?
Speaking of games set in the Edo period, I don't know if you saw that Capcom leak that quite possibly the Switch is getting the Great Ace Attorney 1 and 2 in the West.
Did you see that? Don't joke with me.
Capcom had that leak where a bunch of info came out, and they found docs about it.
All right, everybody, we're going to take a moment for a second.
It's by no means a confirmation, but people are saying it looks like it's possible that that's what's happening.
I honestly, if this is true, and this happens,
I'd be pretty excited. I knew you'd be very excited for that.
Because I played this game. I played this on the phone, because I played the fan translation of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I always like playing the originals.
And Switch is a great place.
Like
for
as
it.
They're intended.
Yeah.
Not that it matters. I'm sure the translations were they're very well done. But
yeah. But it would be.
Oh
cool.
Damn! There's that new project. Ooh. Ooh,
baby.
I want them to release the Ace Attorney Investigations too, but they never will, so it doesn't matter anymore. But maybe they will with this.
If these do well, maybe.
Because I know that one of the reasons why they didn't release this was because the translations would be a little bit weird due to Japanese traditionalism and all that, but...
Yeah, that's always what ends up being the harder
thing. I guess they just stopped giving a fuck and they like money, so
yeah,
they're coming.
That's the same thing with the Yakuza games. That's always their argument for stuff like that. Like,
here you go, you weebs. You want some,
you fucking
want
nerds.
Some history? We'll give it to you.
But,
nerds.
We'll break away from weebing for a little, because I played a bunch of games. We're going to keep flowing down. Yakuza wasn't one of them, but stuff I played during my Extra Life stream. I played Bugsnax.
Now, I've seen this game described as Viva Pinata. Is that true?
No.
What the fuck are people talking about?
I'd compare it more to, like, maybe, like, Pokemon Snap meets Viva Pinata.
So you just go around collecting the snacks? And
yeah, you collect them, and the idea is like, oh, this person... Okay, so the basic setup is you're playing as, like, this journalist, and the species of characters in the Bugsnax universe are called Grumps. They're like, okay. They're like Muppets, basically, is the way I look at it. I'm like, wow, they couldn't get the Muppet license, huh? And you get invited out to this island where this explorer named Lisbert has discovered Bugsnax and made a settlement there. And wants you to come and interview her and see the wonders of Bugsnax. When you get there, she's missing, and the entire town, is except for the mayor, Filbert, has basically abandoned the place. And he tells you, basically, like, we don't know where she is. She went missing. Everybody kind of succumbed to infighting and just disappeared. So, basically, you go around exploring the island and doing tasks for people and convincing them to come back. And there's a lot of, like, puzzle solving and learning about these Bugsnax and how to catch them along the way. The writing is way better than I was expecting.
That's what I keep hearing, too. Like, the story's actually not that bad.
The story's pretty good. And every time you get, like, a certain amount of people back to the town, Filbert will be like, oh, we should have a bonfire tonight because we got a lot of people. And then, like, that's where some of the bigger story beats play out, and it's always, like, people, like, literally calling each other shitheads. Like, I had one last night where one of the second characters you get, this farmer, literally somebody calls him out, and they're like, well, maybe you keep acting like this, that's why your wife left. And I was like, oh, my God.
But that's a game for kids, I thought.
Good news, I got his wife to come back.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's actually really heartwarming.
I found his wife, Triffany. And I got her to come back.
Triffany?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeesh. Oh, hey. That's great. That's pretty funny, though. I always like when games are not too on the nose with, like, being like, we're for adults, too. Yeah. But they still just throw in that humor.
Yeah, like,
it just keeps it,
it
very
doesn't
much
beat
so fresh.
You over the head with it, but, like, the writing is smarter than I was expecting going into this. It's just got a real cheery atmosphere. I think the Bugsnax designs are neat. And it's just fun. It's light. It's after... It was one of the last games I played on my Extra Life stream. Like, as dawn was breaking, I started playing Bugsnax. And I was like, I need something uplifting.
Something uplifting other than Bugsnax, yeah. Which I thought was the epitome of an uplifting game.
It was
game.
Uplifting.
Little did I know.
I also played a little bit on the stream of Teardown. Do you know anything about this game?
Yeah, I remember following the dev on Twitter about
Me
this
too,
for a while. And he was just showing some of the prototypes for some of the, you know, environmental interactions that you can do with them. It looked pretty fucking cool.
This game is...
And then I didn't know that this game was going to come out.
It's
and
out
now
in early
apparently
access.
It's really good.
Yeah. It's fucking great. I had a lot of fun trying to make... I made the frame rate go to a crawl when I hijacked a like ship a ship, not a boat, a ship, and literally like drove it through a map. But for anyone unfamiliar with this, is Teardown. It's a first-person game, voxel-style graphics, and the main point of it is like all your missions are centered around dropping into a map, destroying something or stealing something and getting out. Like easily one of the first missions is just, hey, we need you to demolish this house, and you go in, you have like a pickaxe, you have a blowtorch, you have a number of tools that you can use to accomplish it. And you can also find things in the environment. Like, you could drive a crane through it. You could pick up propane tanks and throw them at the walls. And certain things are, like, steel and brick are harder to destroy than, like, wood. It's just a really fucking satisfying game, especially as the goals get more complicated, where it's like, okay, you need to go in here, you need to demolish this house, then you need to steal this safe from here, and then you need to get out. And certain maps will have, like, once you accomplish task two, like, an alarm set off, and now you have, like, 45 seconds to escape.
That's fun. That's actually pretty cool.
It's a really, like, right now it's early access.
It's just a neat game. It just looks very creative. I give them props for that. It just looks like a very creative type of game.
It's like an anti-Minecraft. It's like a goal-oriented, go into somebody else's Minecraft map and destroy it.
And just break all of it.
And yeah, and you, any vehicles and stuff you find, you can drive and basically keep driving until you've destroyed so much of it would be impossible.
I can't believe it's in early access. I'm sure they'll just keep adding just more.
It's I mean, I played about an hour of it. That was one of the last things I played on my stream. But I intend to go back for more because I had been watching it for a while.
It's like the voxel graphics.
It looks really good.
The voxel worlds are pretty fun.
Voxel worlds are neat, and just the way everything gets destroyed and the way the physics work with that is like so satisfying. Like in that first level where you have to destroy a house, basically all you need to do is get it under a certain height, and then it's considered like collapsed and you can move on. So I basically broke the entire foundation up and then threw a propane tank at the chimney, so then the entire thing just kind of flopped over in on itself, and it was just satisfying as hell to watch.
I heard that the story was actually pretty good too for this game.
Yeah, there's some pretty funny jokes about it, how you're supposed to be, like, this construction company, but you slowly just keep accepting jobs that are clearly criminal.
And nobody says anything about it. It's just like, yeah.
All these,
it's like, yeah, go rob this bank. It's like, all right.
All the stories are told fine via your emails.
I love those. It reminds me of a fucking Hotline Miami. It just got weird. The only time you ever got stories, like, through the phone calls mainly, and then maybe through some chat bubbles.
It is like that. Like, you're robbing a safe at one point, and the next morning you get, like, an email from your boss, like, hey, I heard they're pretty pissed off about what happened last night. You might want to lay low. And you're watching, like, news footage in the email of you making your getaway.
I could have swore. I had, like, a deja vu moment where I remember some other Flash game where all you do is look at your emails, like, for the day, and then you go out to go do things that are criminal, too. I mean, it's old, but fuck it. I just like games that do that. Like, just stupid, menial little things that expand the story. And it's like, yeah, let me just check my email so you can get the info.
It gives you context for all the dumb shit you just did.
Yeah. Here, you can fill in the blanks for all this. Yeah. I kind of just like how you're under the guise of this construction company that blatantly is not what you're supposed to be doing.
It's all demolition work, but all clearly criminal.
I love just... I watched some of it on Twitch. It's just fun. It just looks like fun... It's like one of those places that you pay to go break shit in real life. It's just fun.
There was, I think, like a third level or something. I had to steal... It said something about a safe. Like, the safe was my objective. It didn't say steal it. And I could not destroy it for the life of me. And Josh was watching me play this for a while, and we both just kind of lost our shit at this at the end, because I finally ended up dropping it, and I got it onto a boat, because I'm like, all right, let's get it out of here. And then it slipped into the water, and when it sunk, the objective marker just checked off. So I was like... Wait, did I just have to...
Is that it? Do I gotta do anything else? It's like, yep, go home.
You can leave
now.
You
did it. Job well done.
Good job, kid. Because
blow up this building.
My blowtorch and my pickaxe couldn't break the safe, so I was looking for, like, propane tanks or something to try and throw at it and blow the door off, but it turns out I just had to, like, drop it in the ocean.
Which, I mean, if you didn't know that, then maybe you're not right for the job, you know?
I mean, I guess.
That's pretty fucking funny, though.
My longest part of the stream was when I played, not all of 70%, because I had already started it. I finished Spider-Man Miles Morales for the PS4.
Now, That also looks like a really good fucking game.
I really fucking like this game.
How long did it take you to beat it?
I 100%ed it in probably about 10 hours.
Wow. Well, I guess, I mean, it is a spinoff game. Makes sense.
I really like what they did with this game, and I am more excited ever for Insomniac's proper sequel now. Because it does...
Yeah, I heard that there's going to be just another definitive sequel.
I have to assume in the sequel you're going to be playing as both Peter and Miles.
I'm sure it'll be interchangeable just due to popularity.
Because it gives you some clear setup for what's to happen next, but...
Oh, it does. Okay.
Oh, yeah, there's, like, when I tell you a straight-up post-credits stinger of who the big bad of the next game will be.
Is it exciting?
It's... I expected this, but I'm excited to see what they do with it. Because it...
Tell me who it is.
You want me to tell you, and then we can tell people...
No, don't tell me who it is. Okay, forget it. I take it back.
You want me to tell you after the podcast?
No, I don't even... I was just even thinking. I don't even want to know. I have a problem where I think I want to know at first, and then...
It's exactly who you probably thought it was after the first one. All I'll say is it's a known Spider-Man villain, but a very unique take on it.
Okay. I'm in for that.
So, basically, the game picks up not too long after the first one ended. I think it starts on Christmas Eve, Christmas Eve. Miles has, since his father passed away, has moved to Harlem into his grandmother's old apartment with his mom. And they established pretty early on that his best friend, Genki, knows that he is the second Spider-Man. Like, he's sort of your, you know, guy in the chair type deal. So, basically, in the early segment, you're talking with Peter, and you're supposed to go meet up with him because a prison convoy that's transferring some prisoners out of the raft is going to be moving through Midtown. And they sort of line that with this big crate being held from a helicopter that ends up naturally crashing. And you get a really cool intro segment with both Spider-Men fighting the Rhino, where you literally have to, like, ride on his back and he, like, demolishes a mall.
And that's the QuickTime event stuff, right?
Yeah, there's some of that in there. Not in pieces. Not too much. Rhino fight in that segment actually ends up being pretty good, because then this is when Miles discovers his bioelectricity venom ability. And you basically have to use that to stun Rhino and then just pummel him.
Okay.
And after that whole... they introduce Roxxon, because you have this fight at a Roxxon energy power plant. And, you know, make it very obvious. Oh, Menacing Corporation. Naturally, superhero stuff.
Oscorp?
But Roxxon is the Menacing Corporation in this game in particular. And then Peter tells Miles that for the next few weeks, he's going to be away in Europe. MJ took a job for the Bugle covering Simkaria, the country that Silver Sable is from. And their, like, war relief efforts. And Peter is going along as her photographer. So for the next few weeks, you are the only Spider-Man in New York.
And then everything goes down.
Yeah. The overall plot involves Roxxon and a new take on the Tinker, which I think they do a pretty good job with. And Miles sort of finding his footing as Spider-Man, discovering his unique abilities, like his full-on invisibility and his bioelectric venom.
I like how they introduce people like the Tinker. You're just like, who the fuck is that? Or at least anybody this else would be probably. This is a 100%
brand new version of the Tinker that has closer...
It's like with MODOK in the Avengers game. I'm sure some people were like, who the fuck is this?
This one has a closer ties to Miles personally, which makes the story a little bit more intriguing. A lot of stuff I really liked was how they sort of flesh out this existing Spider-Man world more. Like, one of the big collectibles are Peter leaves these hollow Spider-Man trainings around the city for you. Mm-hmm. And in one of them, he basically recreates a fight from his college years. Where it's revealed that in this universe, there were two Vultures at one point. Like, Vulture had a protege.
Interesting.
Because Peter, like, recounts a story where he fought both Vultures at the same time in college.
Really weird. And back in my time in college, I fought two birds.
Weirdly, in that story, he reveals that at the very least, once he was in college, both MJ and Harry knew he was Spider-Man.
Interesting. Okay.
I
kind of dig that.
Yeah. It's
I like when people just know Spider-Man. Fuck it.
Miles sure does a lot of that in this game.
I'm sure he takes. I always love that where anybody has a super secret identity, and, like, within the first, like, 10 minutes, they're like, yeah,
it's me. I texted our friend Tom about this when I was done. Like, for Christ's sakes, Miles is worse than keeping a secret identity than Peter, who sucks at it.
Well, because I was even thinking, you know, for the longest time, I was thinking, well, they're it's fucking dumb. But if I was Spider-Man too, I'd be like, yeah, I'm Spider-Man.
But yeah, no, exactly. Like for to a handful of you, like yeah, I was.
Like if someone's like, you're Spider-Man, I'd be like, yeah.
But as far as villains go, they keep it pretty light. I mean, you have a few interactions with Rhino. You have that Hollow fight with Vulture. And beyond that, it's really the Tinkerer and Prowler, who have a big presence here. I don't want to get into like spoils about that, but I think they did a really good job in adjusting the relationship with Prowler in this, because I feel like most people know at this point with Miles, the Prowler is actually his uncle, Aaron Davis. And very early on in the game, do they go out of their way to be like, oh, Aaron Davis realizes that Miles Morales is Spider-Man. Like, the man's not a fool.
There's no real secrets anymore. Fuck it.
Nobody knows shit. But they do some really cool stuff with that relationship. The game's just fun. Like, they balance Miles differently. He has a lot less gadgets than Peter. But he also straight up has two other superpowers. Like, I felt like the stealth segments in this one were more challenging than the original game. But they kind of should be, because Miles can literally turn invisible.
Right.
And
that's just like a new power thing.
Yeah. And there's a lot of cool stuff you can do with that Venom, the bioelectricity ability. Like,
yeah, it looks like they just found a way to keep it fresh while not just giving you the same game, which is fine.
The other thing that's cool to note is I had recently played a little bit of the first one again. The way Miles swings is so distinct from Peter. Like, he's way more flippy and kind of like throwing his body weight around more.
He's feeling himself a little bit more in the air.
He's feeling it, you know what I mean?
He's feeling it. I like that.
You can actually use Venom in his web slinging too to straight up get like a triple jump and launch yourself with it, which is pretty cool.
And it's all pretty fluid, right? Like you don't.
Oh yeah,
it's not laggy
It feels great on the PS4. Solid 30 FPS. Really didn't dip. I know the PS5 is probably launching you into far better than that, but
I'll never even play it in time for you to even. You didn't hear about it.
On the PS4 Pro, it runs great. If you are hesitant to play the PS4 version, I can tell you on a Pro, it runs just as good, if not better, than the original.
Interesting. Not bad. I dig it.
Miles Morales, I will have a review up over at swordchomp.com soon. I want to replay like the back half of it because I was very tired when I beat it. So before I finish the review,
so you just like closed eyes halfway through, you're like, yeah, that's cool.
Like I'm going through the new game plus, because I platinumed the original game, and this seems like another easy plat.
I'm having fun,
and I like the Spider-Man.
Tell me about lastly here, and I know we're almost up even on cast. Tell me about Valhalla.
I started Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Good.
I like it about as much as I liked Odyssey. I'm going to talk about the things I like the most about it. Which are the things that are the polar opposite of Odyssey. There's no real side quests in this game.
Okay.
What I mean by that is there's no side quest log.
So it just stacks?
No.
I don't understand.
Instead, there are what they're called world events, and they're sort of like quicker puzzle or event-based things you stumble across and solve right where you are or walk away from them. It feels a little bit more like Breath of the Wild.
Is there like an achievement to do them all?
I'm playing on PC. So I don't know.
like I was gonna say, like that's kind of odd, but alright.
It's better.
I like world events.
Than
it's just
sounds,
it's not
I
logged
think, because like there's too much shit in Odyssey.
Yeah, I was gonna say it wasn't Odyssey's problem anyways. People were complaining there's too much, and then the team was like, you know what, you think it's too much, and I get nothing. Fuck it. You get nothing.
But
you get these world events.
I put like 3 hours into that game. I am finally off the first map. Big note, all Assassin's Creed games from now on should start with a smaller map than the big map. The first few hours actually take place in Norway, which is a small, very contained map. And then eventually you head to England to do what Vikings do and pillage and settle. There's just straight up, like, when you're in your longboat in this game, which I love, you can stumble across a settlement and it'll just be like, hit Y to raid. And then it'll just pin you in a straight line, like booking it towards the shore while you blow a hunting horn, and then your entire crew just leaps out of the boat and just starts murdering.
Jesus Christ. Just like real Vikings.
Just like real Vikings.
Just like the real ones.
They do tread that Viking line pretty well, though, I think. Like, when you get your hidden blade, which is actually pretty early on in this one, your brother essentially returns to Norway at the beginning of the game from, like, an expedition around the world. And there's two very clearly like Middle Eastern assassins with him. that say they're from Constantinople, and they gift you a hidden blade, and Eivor, the main character, puts it on, and they immediately know that, like, hey, you put it on backwards, you're supposed to put it under your wrist, and he's like, I don't hide my weapons like a coward.
Damn.
So when you use your hidden blade as Eivor, he literally, like, fucking punches motherfuckers with his blade sticking out.
Damn. That's pretty cool.
I also...
got that personality in there, absolutely, too, a little difference.
I also really like the way you can handle equipment in this, because, weirdly, Odyssey took out shields that were a big part of Origins. Shields are back, but they behave very differently. Okay. Like, shields are more offensive in a way. Like, can be used to...
like, you just bash them?
Yeah. And straight bash up to the point, skulls. You can, quote-unquote, dual wield. Like, I could have two axes, one in each hand. I could have two shields. Mm-hmm. And just go in bashing with shields.
Oh, I love those kinds of builds. I love those kinds of things. You just become shield man.
So, yeah, no, I've actually been...
just run right in, just start wowing on people.
I've actually been doing a dual shield build, and it's really satisfying.
With just the hidden blade on top of everything, yeah, too. Why not?
It actually feels just really good. Give him a
wooden shield with some metal on there.
Yeah, I've got two shields, and I am unabashed in that. And they changed the way stealth kind of works, in a sense, where... The cloak and your hood are actually a thing you put on, and it kind of changes your profile. And like they note earlier, like, oh, you know, a man strolling with his hood up is forgettable. Like, don't get too close to people and move quickly, and they won't notice you.
Right, but not in the same case of like, oh, you're an assassin because you're also a Viking. Yeah, you know, it's not in your culture to just
and
do stealthy kills.
I stopped basically when I got to England when the map changed. Like, I'm waiting to see how it opens up now that we have this camp we're feeding resources into. And I like the characters so far. I like the Viking setting and story. I'm interested to see where they take it, because there's definitely some cool ideas here and some changes to combat and equipment and quests that I think are all really net positives for Assassin's Creed going forward.
Interesting.
The PC version is a pain in the ass, by the way, everyone should know.
Is it?
If you don't install it on your C drive, it's not going to launch.
Why can't these games ever just release with, like, nothing wrong with it when it comes to compatibility?
I don't understand. It's one of those things...
I always feel like it's an Assassin's Creed game that just cannot be compatible with, like, all of their consoles.
Because, like, I install all my games on my... like, my second SSD, my D drive, is literally where I store my games. So now I have to, like, change my file output and shit for this one game so it runs.
What a pain in the ass that you're paying $60 for, or whatever.
Yep.
That's the way it is. That's
the way the news goes.
I think I'll end up getting Valhalla long term after a while.
Mm-hmm.
Or I wanted to play Odyssey, but I just never got around to it. And I was also daunted by how long it kept saying, like, it kept being described as.
This is way more digestible.
Yeah, I heard this one was way better in terms of playability. So that's good. So I think I may just hit up this one. Origins, I know that you said was really good too.
I really liked Origins. And Origins is not quite as overwhelming as Odyssey. But it more so than Valhalla, for sure.
Yeah. Get a little Vikings. Get a little Viking. Drink a little
I'm Viking.
Start punching people in the face with my sword.
Oh, yeah.
Double
one
shield.
Of the mini games is straight up a drinking contest.
Gotta love it.
I'm really glad. I almost forgot about that. I want to download instructions on this. There's a dice game you play. This is one of those...
like CeeLo?
No. This is one of those mini games in a game that I'm like, oh, if they put this out like Gwent, I would buy this.
Oh, shit.
Don't
give them any ideas.
It's hard to even explain the rules because the dice are unique. And basically, you go through a rolling phase where both players roll dice. And you essentially have life points like it's fucking Yu-Gi-Oh! You have like 18 stones that represent your life points. And you roll the dice, and you can either get a symbol of a hand, an arrow, an axe, a helm, or a shield.
Ooh, a little rock, paper, scissor mechanic-y.
Now, shields deflect arrows, and helms deflect axes. You get three rolls per round, and in each roll you can pick the ones you want to keep and the ones you want to re-roll. On the final roll, obviously, you have to keep whatever's left. Now, so then you play it out, obviously, let's say I play three axes, and you play, two helms. That means you've blocked two of those axes, so I hit you for one damage. On top of that, some of the dice have this little trim around the edge, and if it has the trim, that means you get a god token, And if you drew one of those hands, that means at the end of this phase, you get to steal a god token from your opponent. At the end of each major phase,
you can
spend the god tokens to invoke a boon. And some of the boons might be things like, oh, I just straight up do 12 damage to you. Or I turn all of your shields into helms or something like that. Like, some of them are really significant and can really shift the tide of the game. But it's really the first person to lose all of their health loses. And there's honestly a lot of, like, nuance to it. And it's, I played it for, like, an hour.
Damn. Goddamn. That's a lot of fun. I like when the minigames end up being funner than the main game.
It's a rarity, but it does happen.
Now it's worth it, and the story's not bad, so that must mean it's good.
Exactly. We just want the dice game.
I just like it when... I mean, who doesn't? I was going to say... I don't know. It's not as Creed. It's so fluffy. Like, there's just so much shit in there.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. It's overwhelming.
There's less of that in this. That's the thing I like about it.
Which is why I'm down with that. Which is why I think I'm more lean toward getting this one than Origin or Odyssey. Because I just don't fucking care. I just don't fucking
care. Nor should
care
you.
Enough.
Nor should you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I need that validation. But at least this one seems to be good. It has less playtime, so that's always nice. I always remember people were saying that they wanted AAA games to be like less than 10 hours again. Just let it happen. I'm in that camp.
Me too.
Just let it fucking happen.
Because we're all old.
Yeah, and also my attention span's not that great.
Yeah,
I want to go do other things.
I'm tired, man.
I love video games, but I gotta go do other shit.
Samesies.
It's like, come on.
Shall I roll us through this quick drop?
Yeah, give me the drop. I want to know what's going on.
Monster Truck Championships coming to Switch November 19th. Poker Club hits PC, PS5, and what the fuck is... Xbox Series X. November 19th. The PS5 finally launches for the rest of the world on November 19th. Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity hits Switch November 20th. Katamari Damacy Reroll finally makes its way to PS4 and Xbox One on the 20th. I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be Sakura of Rice and Ruin hits PS4 and Switch on November 20th. The Skylia Prophecy hits Switch November 20th. World of Warcraft Shadowlands drops on November 23rd. Cobra Kai The Karate Kid Saga continues, makes its way to Switch on the 24th. Football Manager 2021 hits PC on the 24th. And Just Dance 2021 hits PS5 and Xbox Series X on the 24th.
That's a good drop.
It's a decent,
I like that
drop.
The rest of the world will be getting the PS5. I'm curious to see how Age of Calamity is. Katamari Damacy, fucking great game.
Yeah, fantastic game. I bought it on...
I would tell people to just get that anyway. Just keep buying that shit.
I bought it on Switch when Reroll originally launched, when it was...
It's not coming out for PS5. That blows.
A little weird, right?
A little bit.
I mean, technically, you could buy the PS4 version and just...
And for those who are wondering, what about the Xbox Series X? Well, it's the Xbox. What do you want?
What do you want from me?
What do you want from me? They didn't release any games. You can play your classic Xbox games on that, which I think is fucking neato. And that's it.
And that's it.
That's the fucking
we
thing.
Got PCs, didn't try and get one. But I'm glad people
I couldn't even be bothered to
don't
spend it.
Don't vape into your Xbox.
Yeah. People were reporting that their Xbox was smoking, caught wind, or should I say, caught on fire, and they realized that people were just blowing their vape into the Xbox. Because
we were sending dope fleets about it. We're all about fleets on this podcast now.
I mean, listen, that's what I'm talking about. And that's it. That's the drop. Rich, I have nothing else for you. I'm just a guy trying to survive out here. I gotta be honest. I didn't even play this console that much.
Wow, pretty fucked up.
I'm sorry.
No, man, you had to get out. You had to go live life a little bit.
It's been like a day and a half.
I'm just so tired, Eric.
You're tired.
I'm always tired.
Well, you better get back to playing games.
I have games to play. Things to plan, reviews to write. Should I just roll us through housekeeping?
Yeah, get us through.
Okay. Thank you to Ed Biquette for our wonderful intro, and a special thanks to Heather Ramos for our artwork. Ask us questions, geckogamespodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter. I am @TheRichmeister0, sender of fleets. And you, of course, are @Beautiful_Eric. It has been our pleasure to discuss video game news with you. Catch you here next week.
Bye.